Lord in prayer this morning. I said, Lord, what would you want me to tell them? Meaning whoever was here this morning. And it was the simplest of messages. He said, tell them I love them. That was it. It wasn't no big message of long standing. He just said, tell them I love them. You know how powerful that is? To know that the one who created the heavens and earth, the one who keeps it all together, loves us. That love isn't just sitting there saying, I love you, like we many times we do. You know, it's many times people will say, I'll pray for you, and they'll walk away and never pray. God's love is active. It's powerful. God's love is what heals. God's love is what delivers. God's love is what saves. It's God's love that's going to keep us. Amen? And we got to recognize that. And when we understand the power of God's love that he has given to us and poured into our hearts, we can then be like God and love everybody. We don't always like what they do. How many know God doesn't always like what you do? Amen? But God still loves you. And that love will forgive you. That's the good news. Amen? Hallelujah. So know this, above all things, whatever I say does not negate the fact that God loves you. Amen? And never doubt that I love you. Amen? Now on to the message. I'm only kidding. It's only a joke. I keep wanting to get past love, but God says they haven't got it. Meaning myself, not just you. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Three things that really describe a servant or a disciple of Jesus Christ. Three things. Love, sacrifice, and obedience. Love is always the first thing. He said, you'll know them by their love for one another. In other words, God, we can say that we're a disciple of Jesus Christ, but we have not the love of the Father flowing out of us into the love of the brethren. It's not true. And you got to love, if you're going to love somebody, it's got to be an interactive thing. You understand? God doesn't love you from a distance. God isn't up there saying, I love you, and leaving you alone down here to do whatever happens. And no, he said, I'm going to prove my love for you. I'm going to come down to you because you've got no way to get up to me. So he said he began this whole process by sending his son down here. And he said, I'm going to show you my love in action. Amen? Then when his son went home, he said, now you show my love by your actions. Now we know for a fact it's impossible to love like God loves on our own. You cannot forgive somebody on your own. Especially someone who's been mean to you or said things about you or done things or even ignored you. You can't love somebody that way. You have to do it with the help of the one who is love. So he said, I'm not going to leave you down here to love like I love without me coming down to help you love like I love. So I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. Because he said, my son could show my love wherever he walked. But he wasn't walking here right now. So he said, I have to send my helper to help you love like I love. Amen? When we stand before the Master on that day, all your works will be thrown into a fire. And the only thing that's going to come out and you will be rewarded for is your acts of love. Because love will produce in you a sacrifice that you normally would not do. Love will produce in you an obedience you normally don't have. And that's where your rewards are going to come in. For all of us. We'll find some of us up there and we'll find out we got very little reward. Some maybe none at all, except you're saved. Praise God you're saved. Amen? Praise God you're saved. But if you're saved, your love does not allow you to continue in sin. Understand that? Love does not allow you to continue in sin. It's not that it's going to beat you over the head. He's just going to keep coming at you. God's love never gives up. He never quits. And it's always drawing us into holiness and righteousness. It convicts us. What convicts us? His love. If you stop getting convicted of your sin, you're in deep trouble. You're in deep trouble. Because the Holy Spirit continually works in each and every one of us. The good news is, if you're in sin, repent. That means to turn away from the direction you're going. Stop going in that direction. Acknowledge the fact that you're in sin. Confess it before your Heavenly Father. Repent. Say, Lord, I messed up. I sinned against you and you alone. You're the only one I'm concerned about. God will say, all right. Now you got to get your mind changed so you don't continue going back into that sin. Because without the renewing of your mind, you're bound and determined. Listen, you are bound and determined to go back to the sin. The only thing that changes us is God's love. His love was poured out in the His Holy Spirit into our lives, but He also, His love was revealed by giving us His Word. God loved us enough to give us this thing. In it, we find life. Yes, yes. He said, and health to all your flesh. The power of God's love manifested in the life of a believer will deliver them from all the works of the enemy. Because He said it gives us power over all the works of the enemy. Amen? The power of love. The power of love. And 1 Thessalonians, Paul just loved that church, and he was writing to them. And if you read Paul's writings in the epistles, just like in Revelation, where John was given the revelation from Jesus Christ, and he talked about the seven churches, remember? Five of them had problems. Two of them didn't. They were pretty good, but five of them really had some problems. Well, Thessalonica, when he wrote that letter to them in the 1 Thessalonians, he said in chapter 4, well, let me go there. Let me read it to you. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Listen to this. Now imagine Paul, who got his revelation from Jesus himself. Paul came into the kingdom after Jesus had already ascended on high. Then he had that miraculous encounter with the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and he said, Lord, what was the first thing he said? What do you want me to do? How many of you know when you have an encounter with Jesus, the first thing you're going to say is, now what do I do? What do you want me to do? Well, Jesus showed him, and he showed him all the things he was going to have to endure and all the things. But he learned all of this, his writings, all of it he didn't get from me, and he got straight from Jesus himself. Amen? So we have this word. It came from Jesus, and he said this to him. But concerning brotherly love, listen to this. How would you like to have this letter written by Paul to you? But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God. He's saying to the church at Thessalonica, I don't have to write to you. I don't have to bring corrections. If you go into Romans 12, you're going to find where Paul was bringing a correction to explaining what love was and so on to the Roman church. And he did it many places. But he was saying to Thessalonica, look, you don't need me to write this because God himself taught you how to love. How did he do that? He said when they got saved, he said he poured his love into their hearts. And then that love started witnessing to them how to treat one another. Whew. So when we got to stop and think, what do I have to do to be good to someone? we're being led by the flesh, not by the Spirit. The natural inclination of the Spirit is to treat someone better than yourself. Your whole purpose in life, a husband and wife, a husband's whole purpose in life is to please the wife. The whole purpose of a husband is to please the wife. Or the husband, you know what I'm saying. The husband, let's try this again. The whole purpose of a wife is to please a husband. The whole purpose of the husband is to please the wife. Amen? If you get into a marriage and all you can think about is yourself, get saved. I got nothing else to tell you. Get saved because you're lost. You're hopeless. That's the whole world out there lives like that. All those lost out there are thinking about themselves and only themselves. Well, I care about my children. So what? So do the lost. In a marriage, there's sacrifice. Right? Remember what I said, a disciple. Love, sacrifice. You're going to have to give up your will sometimes for the other. You go to a restaurant you don't like because they like it. You understand? You hate making the bed, but you get up and make the bed. You pick up your clothes. Understand? You do those things to help one another. That's just what you do. Why? Because you're looking for ways to please the other. God is always looking for ways to please you. You understand that? God picks you up when you fall down. God lets you do things that he wouldn't do. Doesn't mean he stopped loving you. Amen? Find out. Find out. Remember, we've talked about this so many times now. Examine your life. How selfish are you? Amen? How selfish are you? Don't be selfish. Because if you're... I'm going to show something in a minute. I'll get there. So what we're saying is this. If you got born again, if you were born again, then God said he poured that love into your heart. Why? Because you can't love him with your own love. Because our love, our natural love, is selfish. You understand that? But then he goes on to say this. Listen to this. He said, to love one another. For God taught, or you're taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do this, do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Now, you're doing good. You're loving because God instructs you how to love. Well, let me put it this way. We started with this process. We said, until you learn how to love God the right way, as God instructs us to do, you can never love one another the way God wants you to. Amen? Okay, let me say this to you. Hallelujah. Here's a piece of paper. Got nothing to do with it, just a piece of paper. Hallelujah. I don't want to say that. Never mind. I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say it unless God tells me to say it. All right. Once we learn to love God unconditionally, I love you, Lord, with all my heart. And as they said, even though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Job said that, right? Even though you slay me, yet will I trust you. In other words, Job is saying, even though you slay me, yet will I love you. Amen? So our love isn't conditional upon him doing something for us. Our love is there because I love him. Why do I love him? First, he loved me. Even in my sin. Amen. And then when he saved me, when I accepted the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross, he then took his love and poured it into my heart. Why? Number one is so I can love him back the way he loves me. Sacrificially. Amen. And obedience. Jesus said, what? He suffered to learn obedience. We're going to suffer until we learn to obey him. You understand? If Jesus learned obedience through his suffering, what makes us think we're not going to? What is he trying to teach us? How to love. That's it. It's the simplest thing in the world. He's not trying to make you cross the Grand Canyon on a tightrope. He's trying to teach you how to love. First of all, love him. Then second of all, love one another. And then as you progress down the line and you got that thing all together, just like the Church of Thessalonica, they got it all together. We got love, man. We love one another. How do we know we love one another? Because we never, ever, ever rejoice because we got unless our brother and sister's taken care of also. Because when they hurt, I hurt. Amen? So if my wife is hurting, I'm hurting. Trust me, I know the fact. So I'm going to make sure to the best of my ability she doesn't hurt. Amen? But when she rejoices, I'm not jealous. I want her closer to Jesus than I am. And if God uses her, praise God. If she's blessed, praise God. I get more joy out of seeing her joyful than I get it out of myself. That's called love. Amen? Don't you understand? Jesus suffered at the cross, so you don't have to suffer at the cross. When you obey him and you deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow him, you're not going to suffer like he suffered. You understand? Listen to me. I was reading, and I can't remember where it was now, and somebody was being martyred. In other words, they were giving up their life for God. They were in a situation, and they were killing him because of his testimony of Jesus. And he either died or he died and came back quickly or whatever it was that happened. And somebody was talking to him, and he said, at the moment of death, when you were going through this, did you feel pain? He said, no, I just felt the grace of God. He said, remember when Stephen was being stoned? He said that as he looked up, he said he could see into heaven. He could see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. He was then in a place of grace with God. He was being killed for his testimony. But God had already lifted him up to a position of grace. Amen? Look, when you sacrifice, the grace that comes upon you is so great, the sacrifice seems minuscule compared to what you're into. You understand? When you seek to save your life, that's when you're going to lose it. Lose your life for his sake in the gospel and you'll find it. The life that he wants you to find is a life filled with grace and power. So when the devil comes and threatens you, you laugh at him. You look at him and say, nah, who are you? If God be for me, who do you think you are? And all of a sudden you start getting rejected by people and things go, you just stand back and say, I'm going to love you anyways. You can't stop me from loving you. Well, I'll get away from you. Go ahead, but I'm still going to love you. Well, I'll go over there. Good. I'll still love you from afar over there. You can't stop me from loving you. We're learning. We're going to love one another. We're going to love our neighbors. Hallelujah. Listen, doing things for people doesn't mean you love them. That is just the result of your love. Amen? God's love for us does. Yeah, he heals us. He provides for us. He delivers us. He sets us up, man. He keeps us going. But that's not proof of his love. His proof of his love was his sacrifice of his son. And then he brought him up out of the grave. You don't want to find out. Let me put it this way. I got to say it the right way, Lord, because if I say it the wrong way, somebody will take it wrong. You don't want to go in your grave without knowing that he loves you. You don't. You don't want to go down there not knowing that he's going to bring you up out of there. The hardest thing in the world is to do a funeral for someone and you don't know if they're saved or not. I'm telling you. I don't have words. How can I encourage you? I can say, get saved and go to heaven. But I can't guarantee that person's going to meet you there. You want the assurance. Not because Pastor Dave said it, not because you read it in the Bible. None of that. Because people read this thing all the time and never get saved. You have to experience his love. The transformation of your life from darkness to light. From hopelessness to hope. And it doesn't come from comes from this realm down here. This stuff comes and goes. Bank accounts rise and fall. Cars, the moment you pull it off the lot, becomes an old thing. And if you get in an accident, you're not going to get the money you just spent for it. So don't look at this stuff down here as a proof of God's love. Matter of fact, it's more proof of the devil's work than it is of God's love. Because he'll offer you the whole world if you just reject walking with Jesus on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Going to shout all about it. Hallelujah. So we are this church. We have the love of God in our hearts. And we prove it by our love for one another. Even people that we don't like being around, we still love them. And if they fall, we're going to pick them up. And they need prayer, we're going to still pray for them. Whatever it's going to take, because they are love. The Bible tells us this. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Think about that. How do you know where your heart is? Listen to your conversation. What do you mean by that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're gonna speak the most about the things you love the most. Will you speak about other things? Sure you will. I know many pastors say, well, just open up your checkbook. You'll see where their heart is. No. People give money all the time. Their heart isn't right. Look at all the money went down to disaster and all that stuff. They'll give their money. Hallelujah. But you listen to the conversation. Listen to your own conversation. Listen to my conversation, what I talk about. What you love most, what you treasure most in life, is where your conversation goes. And it doesn't mean that if you talk about the one you love or you care about, that you're not loved. No, that's not what I'm saying. But if you talk about yourself more than you talk about him, maybe your love is about you instead of him. Go with me one more place and then, hallelujah. John chapter 21. This is about Peter. Remember Peter? Peter was quite a man. He was a fisherman. Jesus happened to walk by one day and he said, hey, Pete, come follow me. Remember what I said a true disciple is? One who loves, one who sacrifices, amen, and one who obeys. Peter learned what love was over a period of time. It wasn't easy for him. But he did sacrifice because he gave up his business to follow Jesus. He gave up everything to follow him. And he was obedient to the best of his ability, to what he could do. In chapter 20, well, let's go back over there real quick. Chapter 20, verse... Oh, let's see. Where am I, Lord? I got to find it. 22. Okay. In chapter 20, This was a time when Jesus had risen out of the grave. He has come to the apostles first. He came to them in the house. Remember that? Now he was coming to them here on this point when Thomas said, unless I see his hands, unless I see his feet, then I'm not going to believe it. Amen? Don't be like that. We sang a song here. Don't say I'll believe it when I see it, because you'll probably never see it. Amen? You believe it because he said it. Amen. And he cannot lie. If God said I healed you, believe it. Well, everything out here says no. Don't matter. God said you were healed. Believe it. Amen? And it's provision or whatever it is you need. So there they were there. And now look what happened. Where am I? 2022. He said, we'll start in 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. At this point is when most theologians believe the apostles actually got saved. It was the moment the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They had recognized his resurrection. They had recognized he died on the cross. They recognized he came up out of the grave. But now, he said, now receive the Holy Spirit. At that point, they were saved. All right? Now go over to 21. Hallelujah. 21 verse 15. Now, let me back up. Excuse me. Let's look at the story here. Peter and had, well, let me read it instead of going. Let's see. Here. We'll start right in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples and see Tiberius, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Amen? Now listen. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. All right, they just got saved. They've seen the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now he says, I'm going fishing. Now remember where he came out of. He came out of being a fisherman. That was his business. Amen? He was going back to his business. He just got saved. Well, I'm going back to work in the fields of what I know, fishing. You get it? Got saved. I'm going back to fishing. He left everything to follow Jesus. He followed him for 3 to 3.5 years. Every place Jesus went, Peter went with him. Yeah, he did deny Jesus. But, what happened? He met up with Jesus after the resurrection. Glory to God. He now knows Jesus is alive. He now knows for a fact, 100% guaranteed, he is the Messiah. Now, he had an inkling of it. He had an understanding of it. He saw it. But when he came up out of the grave, now there's no doubt. Now, he's ready to receive him as his Messiah. And he did in 20, where Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. So Peter now is saved. Been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, walking everything he did. He walked with him and did it, saw it, did signs and wonders, walked on water. Even though he sank, he did walk on the water. Amen. All these things he was doing with him, casting out demons, healing the sick. He was doing all these things. All of a sudden, for one reason, he decided to go back and leave everything that Jesus did and what he was doing with him and go back into the world. Go back into the world. I got more important things to do out here Now, if Peter can do that, don't think that we can't. Amen? Don't think that we're so up here. Well, Peter, you know, Peter, he was just a brag, you know, full of everything. Peter had divine revelation of who Jesus was from the Father. Jesus said, flesh and blood, you has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father, who, he's the one who revealed who I am. Listen to this. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you. You notice that? When one goes, the rest follow. Amen. I like what Paul said one time. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And if I ain't following him, don't follow me. You keep following Christ. Peter had a lot of influence. He was influencing people the wrong way. We're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? Oh, excuse me, I skipped this scripture, didn't I? But when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said, get that? You go back to the world long enough, you stop recognizing Jesus when he's talking to you? Get back there far enough, get out back into the world, doing your worldly things again. When Jesus is trying to talk, you don't even recognize his voice anymore. Oh, I didn't get that one before until just now. All right. He said, children, have you any food? Hallelujah. They answered no. And they're right. They didn't. Remember this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. They had no spiritual food and they had no natural food. Because when you lose the spiritual food, you lose it all. This hurts. Then he said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Obedience. Somehow there was something at least left there, some grain of understanding, some grain of love, some grain of something that caused them to do exactly as he instructed them to do. There's that out there, he said, repent. If you're out there, repent. That's what he's saying, repent. Because he's got a basket full for you. Listen. So they cast now. Yeah, so they cast. And now they were able to draw in because of the multitude. They were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Holy cow. They saw a miracle. All of a sudden their eyes were open. Remember? You're on the road to Emmaus. He said that they were talking to him. But he said he broke the bread to serve them. And all of a sudden their eyes were open. Hallelujah. He said, didn't our heart burn within us when he was speaking? Something happens when Jesus speaks. Something happens when we obey. The blessings come with it. Let me go on here. Listen to this. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Nice going, Peter. Leave those guys to do the work. You jump on shore where the Lord is. Man, I looked at that. I said, boy, you're something. He said that, and as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Where the heck did that all come from? Jesus. Already making provision for them. Time of restoration. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went in up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Hallelujah. Amen. I truly believe that God's desire is for his children to prosper in such a way, but prosperity is not the end of all things. The prosperity is that we would now be free. We can trust God to provide for us, and we don't have to be out there in the world like the rest of the world, beating our head against the plow, trying to figure out how we can get more out of the ground. No, you don't have to have more money. You need more faith. You need more love. Because faith doesn't work without love. That's all you need. You don't need to do your best out there, the hardest work. If I work harder than everybody else, God goes, no, you work hard because whatever you do, you want to give glory to God. Amen? Listen. Hallelujah. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up, dragged the net. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? For they already knew who it was, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took... Remember what he said to them the first time? He said he rebuked them for their hard heart because they didn't believe the testimony of his resurrection. Now they're a little skittish. Who are you? Then he would have kind of said, come on, open your eyes. Hallelujah. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, and after he was raised from the dead. Now, listen. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, you love me more than these. That's our question this morning. You love me more than these. What are the these? What are the these? What did he go back to? The things of the world. Do you love me more than the things of the world? That's what he was saying to him. Do you love me more than the things that you've got out there? And that's a question we all have to answer. If we're going to operate this in the kingdom of God, we're going to operate out of the love of God, we've got to make a decision. Do we love him more than we love that out there? You can like that out there. You can enjoy that out there. And he gave it to us to enjoy. But we're not to love it. He goes on to say, do you love it? And he said, yes, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. My lambs. That's what it's about. Jesus was concerned about his lambs. We are his lambs. And he wanted to make sure somebody would take care of them. There are people out there right now who are not part of his glorious kingdom. But they will be. And he wants to make sure we in this place, us here, be willing to help take care of them. And this is really what it's all about. You love me? You love me more than all those things that you were just doing, Peter, when you were fishing? Do you love me more than the fact that I blessed you with a full net of fish? Do you love me more than that big prosperity I just gave you? Do you love me more than that? Do you love me more than the meal I fixed for you and fed you with? Do you love me? Yes, Lord. And obey me and take care of my family. Take care of my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Take care of them. Because I love them. I died for them. I gave everything up for them. Are you willing? Are you willing? That's what he's asking all of us. If you love me, are you willing to pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow me? Because I guarantee you, if you follow him, he'll lead you to a lamb that's hurting and you need to help them. You need to help them. Give them words of encouragement if necessary. Lay hands on them if necessary. Bless them with whatever way you can bless them. Jesus again is asking us, do we love him more than we love that out there? And each one of us has to answer that ourselves. Nobody can force that on you. Nobody should force that in. Jesus didn't force Peter to say yes. We talked about this before, how he said it three times. He said it to him, yes, yes, yes. He said, you know I love you, Lord. You know I love you. But take care of my sheep. And when you take care of my sheep, I'll take care of you. You never have to fear. But it's going to be costly. And that right after that, Jesus told Peter what he was going to suffer for his namesake. He told him. He said, right now you're able to go any place you want, but there's going to come a time when you're going to be bound. And somebody else will lead you. The story goes that when Peter was martyred, he said that he asked them to turn the cross upside down and nail him to the cross upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be sacrificed the same of his Lord Jesus. His love for him was so great, he gave up everything to follow him. Was he perfect in all his ways? Did he fall down, mess up, get back up? Yeah. Matter of fact, there was a time when Paul went and rebuked Peter and the other apostles. There is a time of that happening. We're not saying we're perfect. God says, I did not pour my love into perfect vessels. I poured my love into the ones who accept my love. And when you accepted Jesus, you accepted his love. That's who he gave his love to. But that love can't stand there. It can't be stagnant. And listen to me. Saying that I love my wife and my children and I love this and I love that's wonderful. But so do the non-saved. But it's the saved ones who even love their enemies. As they progress, as Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, he said more now. He said, yes, you're loving like God showed you to love. He told you how to love. You're doing it just good. You're doing well. But now there's more. There's more for us. We can't just stop there. For those who persecute us and attack us, pray for them. Bless them. Find a way to be a light, even in the worst of darkness. Yeah, but no. Thank God Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to because they did this to me. Thank God he didn't say, no, forget it. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I got hurt. I'm getting hurt. People are talking about it. People are slapping me. People are doing this. I quit. I'm not going to do this anymore. There's going to be that. There's going to be rejection. There's going to be people that are going to say things to hurt you, do things that bother you. There's going to be things like that. You're going to get into the flesh at times. You're going to have lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All those things are going to be there, and you're going to fall into them. But don't stay there. Because in there you won't find his love. Except maybe through chastisement, because he loves those. He chastises those whom he loves, right? But don't stay there. If you fall into that junk out, don't stay there. There's no love out there. There's hatred. Everybody's for themselves out there. But in here, we're all for one another. I want you to preach a greater message. I want you to do more miracles and signs and wonders and all the things. I want you to be used by God greater than anybody else. Because you've got the capability, you've got the capacity, you've got the anointing, you've got the power. And as soon as you say, yes, Lord, I love you more than I love that, God will say, good, now I'm going to tell you what to do. And obey him. Just obey him. Let me say this to you too. Don't look for man's uh, Don't look to man to build you up, to encourage you, and tell you how wonderful you are and what. Oh, you're so beautiful. You know, the worst thing the devil will do is send somebody to tell you how wonderful you are. You understand that? He will. You'd be surprised. 70-year-old fat men like me. He'll send a good girl over. Oh, look how you're so wonderful. I'm serious. You think I'm kidding you? You don't think the devil does things like that? He certainly does. Don't look for acclamation from man. Most people who tell you how wonderful you are looking for something. Amen? And that doesn't mean, look, we shouldn't go around not saying. If they do a good job, tell them they're doing a good job. Amen? If they're being, you know, if they're helping you, say thank you. Oh, thank you. You're just so wonderful to help me. Thank you very much. There's nothing wrong with that. But other than that, everything comes from above. Everything comes out of the Father of lights. Everything good comes from Him. And if I can love you, it's because of His love in me. It's got nothing to do with me. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you love me more than these? Honestly, you know, I'm thinking about it now. I'll give you my testimony a little bit, and then I'm going to close. We'll take up our, we're going to have communion. I'm getting there where I'm thinking, you know, I could retire now. You know? Retire. That would be a nice word. Diane says, hey, you're semi-retired. Semi. That's the problem. But, no. You know what I'd love to do with my life? I'd love to sell everything, get a motor home, put my wife in it, me and her, just travel the United States for the next few years. Just travel around, look at all the beautiful country and all this. I would love to do that. I would do that just like that. If it was His will for me. I don't just do what I want to do because I want to do it. Does that mean that you can't, you know, you can love God and still do it? Yes, I'm not saying that. But I love Him more than these. I love Him more than that. And as long as He wants me and He'll use me, I'll do it. Whatever these, you know, whatever He wants me to do. Each one of us. Because there'll always be temptations come. There'll always be things open to you. Opportunities. All these wonderful things you want to do. And they're not bad things always. They're not bad things. They're just these things that cause your love to grow cold for Him. Leave your first love and follow these things. That's the danger of it. Can you go enjoy those things and still have Him loving Him? And be, yeah, of course you can. And you should be able to. Nothing wrong with that. Don't let anybody tell you that. But make sure this is first. Make sure this is second. You understand? You could do it this way. First is this love. Second is this love. Get it? It's called the cross. When you see it, all the other things you can enjoy. And God wants you to. God wants you to. But don't say, I would, but I got these things I got to do when it comes to take care of your brother and sisters in Christ. Or your family. Amen? Hallelujah. I love Him more than these. I love you more than these. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, we acknowledge, Father, Your love for us. And we acknowledge you've poured your love into our hearts. And we acknowledge, Father, we haven't always walked in that love and loved the way you want us to love. We have allowed the flesh and these things to interfere. And we ask for your forgiveness. And we ask, Lord, that you stir again up in us that gift that you put into us, the gift of love above all things. More than anything else, we want to love as Jesus loved. Loved you and loved one another. We thank you today, Lord God. You're doing a work in us. And you'll never stop. To that glorious day when we meet face to face. We thank you for that. Have your way today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to have communion. We'll take our offering at the same time. Amen.